Welcome back to Your Business Decision. Our guest today is a well-known authority on credit, credit reports, and credit scores. She has appeared on the Today Show and blogs for the Huffington Post and Credit.com. Her latest book, The Credit Makeover, along with her earlier book, The 90-Day Credit Challenge, are available on Amazon.com. We welcome in Jean Kelly. It is truly great to have you on the podcast today, Jean. You can find Jean on Twitter, as 20,000-plus people have, at The Credit Scoop. That is The Credit Scoop on Twitter and on Facebook and Instagram at Jean Kelly Credit. And her website, which I'll mention a couple times throughout the interview, is www.jeankelly.net. That's www.jeankelly.net. And I will include her social media links along with a link to jeankelly.net on the show notes under this episode. So, Jean, speaking of your social media links, I caught a picture you took of a double rainbow. Very cool. Where did you catch that?
Thank you, Ralph, for having me on the show. I took that while I had a weekend away up in by Lake George, New York. And I was on the balcony and all of a sudden I looked to my left and there it is. I'm like, this is magical. Absolutely stunning. Really
absolutely.
Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say it might have been a good day to buy a lottery ticket, but people probably with a credit experts don't believe in the lottery ticket as your only way for retirement anyway, right?
Hey, I'll take it however I can get it.
So very, very, very cool. So having good credit is so important. We have so much to address. So let's just dive in, shall we?
Absolutely.
So how often should a listener to the podcast or a consumer in general review their credit report?
They should definitely look at it. I want them to look at it at least twice a year. And the first time you're ever looking at your credit report, it may be overwhelming. But if you make a habit, healthy credit, I'll say, if you make a habit of looking at it every 6 months, then instead of it taking you maybe a half an hour because you're trying to figure out what makes sense, it may take 5 minutes to look at it. So if you get in the habit, it's definitely easier. And when you're looking at the credit report, have that highlighter out because I'm sure you're going to find things that don't seem correct to you.
Yeah, we'll get to that because I did want to talk about how someone can, well, let's get right at that, shall we?
Okay.
How can someone, when they find a problem with their credit report, how do they move forward with getting that corrected and who do they need to contact first and how does that flow?
So I say, get out the highlighter, and I don't even care, Ralph, if the name is spelled wrong, a street didn't belong, you know, an address doesn't belong to you, besides, of course, the, you know, a balance wrong, derogatory information, a collection account that may not belong to you. Anything that's incorrect, you should highlight, and then you have to contact that credit bureau reporting it, because they, you know, the credit bureaus do not share information. You have to look at each report separately, and again, if there's a problem, contact the credit bureau that's reporting it. And it's going to take time, but get out the highlighter, focus on it. You can call them to dispute the item. You can do it online, or you can, send it in the mail, however you prefer. But following up is key, making sure, the item you're asking to be disputed, you follow up and make sure you get the results. And then, if you still disagree, then you could always go to the source of how is it getting there? You know, if it's a collection company and they verified the information, then you're going to have to call the collection company and say, why are you on my credit report? There still could be a mistake.
Yeah, I know. And just my day-to-day work in getting commercial loans approved for clients and looking at their credit reports, many times there are issues that going back all the way to 2005, a recent case, one of my clients trying to get approved for a commercial loan had to actually fly to San Francisco from the South to meet with an IRS agent in the San Francisco office to remove a $1,000 lien from 2005 to get it done. So it's amazing how things that should have been removed quite some time ago can still hot one when they're trying to get a new loan approved over 10 years later.
Oh my goodness.
What is the best way to order a full tri-bureau copy of their credit report. You mentioned that the three credit bureau agencies do not share information. What would you suggest is the best way for a consumer to order the full look, the full tri-bureau copy of their credit report?
So you can't get like a consumer can go to this website called annualcreditreport.com, and they can request all three reports, but they will be coming directly from Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. Usually consumers won't get that tri-merge report like you can get from your lender if you're going for a mortgage. So you just have to go to the one site, annualcreditreport.com, and you do have access to all three reports. So that it's free. You know, if people think, oh, if I pull my credit, that's going to hurt my credit score, but that's not true if you yourself are pulling it to review it. So I highly suggest going to that website just because it's easier. Obviously, you can go directly to all three, you know, sites and get it that way as well. But this is just, they all teamed up and this is the way to get it simply.
Very good. I know I've used that method in the past also. What can impact a change in one's credit?
Things that change that can negatively affect you are if a collection account hits your credit report. And a lot of people think, well, it's not a big deal if it's only, you know, a $50 collection account. That $50 collection account counts the same as if you got a $10,000 collection account. It's really not the amount of money as much of the fact that it's a derogatory item. And it, let's just say in the moment that it just hit your credit report. So it's recent. So that could be a major drop in your score. Of course, even a recent late payment. A lot of times people don't realize it could be a store credit card and they miss 1 month that it goes over 30 days and it was maybe a $10 minimum payment. It doesn't matter, again, the amount that was missed. It matters that a brand new recent late would report. And that could drop them 75 points. So, wow. You know, it's really important to pay your bills on time and try to be organized by it and open up all your mail, because a lot of times the collections will send you, you know, a letter before putting it on your report, but it looks like junk mail. So you might not pay attention to it. And also another thing that gets overlooked is your balances on your credit cards. You know, if you're maxed out, it's definitely going to take away from your credit score. So if you can get on a budget, start lowering those balances, you'll see your score rising.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. A number of questions have come in over the past year or so from clients of mine, and they always ask, what is the suggested percentage of a credit limit on a credit card I should use?
Mm-hmm. And the magic number, and when I say magic number, I'm talking because I am a credit expert. If I want to give you the best advice, and for the people who carry credit scores in the 800s, they never go above 7% of what is available to them on the credit cards. That's like the magic number. But I mean, if you want to just, even if you say you're maxed out and you can get it to 50%, you're going to see a score increase. And then if you lower it down to 20%, you'll keep seeing the score move up as you're lowering it. But if you're really focusing in achieving that 800 number, you know, with your FICO score, then you want to have it at 7% or less.
So, Jean, are people in that specific case, the people with 800 credit scores, are they using 7% of their capacity on their credit cards and then paying it off at the end of that month and then charging up up to that 7% level again, paying it off at the end of the month and on, correct?
Constant flow like that. This way, it's just healthy credit. It's showing activity. And a lot of times people say to me, well, I use this one card for everything, but I pay it to zero every month. So it's always, I always pay it to zero. Well, the fact of the matter is it's really never going to report the zero, because when it reports on the credit report, it's the statement balance. So if you're waiting for that statement to come to you and it has that $3,000, you know, monthly bills that you've been using it for, then it's always going to show that amount. It's not going to show once you pay it to zero, because then you're starting to use it all over again. So it always reports the statement balance.
Very good to know. Yeah, very good to know. And when what is the average time that consumers can expect to see their credit improve once they begin to get some of the errors that are possibly on the report looked at, or possibly from the time they start really paying down those balances?
Well, Ralph, I always say it could start improving the day you start paying attention to it. So if they're listening to this podcast today and they say, I'm going to start paying attention today because next month I'm not going to have a brand new late because now I'm going to be organized and pay things on time, it can start improving because you're not adding more new derogatory information. If you start paying your balances down every time, which is approximately every 30 days when the new statement balance goes onto the report, that's when you would see your score go up. So it can be going up constantly. So it's really, you know, making it a priority and focusing on it because your credit is such a big part of your financial life. And if you do this, you know, you can quickly see things turn around.
Well, we're speaking once again, folks, with Gene Kelly. Gene, as you can tell, is a credit expert and has been nationally known for quite some time. And you can find Gene and her great information she provides her clients at genekelly.net. That's Gene with two N's, J-E-A-N-N-E, Kelly.net. So, Gene, I'd also like to go into the number of credit cards one should have outstanding. Sometimes people have said, look, I like to focus on this one card because I get all my great miles. They've got the best incentives possible. So I'm going to close down these other cards that I have. I'm sick of paying extra annual fees when I don't need to. So what's the wisdom of keeping some of these cards available and keeping minimal balances on them rather than keeping them at zero? What's your thought there?
Well, it's funny. Sometimes people are surprised when, and they'll notice this when they start working with me, that they'll pull out the cards they haven't used. And I kind of say they're hibernating on the credit report. They're open, just no recent activity. And they may just use it for $20 and they will see a slight increase in their score because, again, it was kind of hibernating. And as far as closing accounts, sometimes when you're closing the accounts, it can drop your score because now when you do use that one card for all those rewards and that it's your favorite card and maybe every month, you know, you're bringing up that balance. If you closed accounts that were helping your ratio with your, because 30% of your FICO score is regarding balances. And so like what's available to you and what you're using. So if they're showing one of the balances, you know, at the 3000, let's just say, and you close some accounts that showed availability to you, and now you close them to zero, that's not available, you change the ratio. So it can definitely drop your score. With that being said, though, Ralph, I don't say, oh, keep account, like if you definitely don't use accounts that have an annual fee and it's costing you money, it's something you really have to look at, though. Like you have to say, how much would this affect my score if I close it? Is this, and sometimes it's the oldest account you have on your credit report that's really giving you a lot of length and history. So you really got to be careful and think of all those factors. Because I always suggest keeping everything open and using them, you know, changing it up a little. And if you can do that, you know, you can make the most of your credit score.
Very good advice. You know, one issue that comes up a lot when I am trying to get a couple approved for a small business loan is one person may have really strong credit and the other person does not. And when the problem really becomes a larger problem, how does an individual who has a joint credit account with someone remove their name from that account if some significant issues on their partner's credit arises?
Yeah, that's, you know, you really have to be careful with those joint accounts because it's truly joint, whether it's a spouse, a business partner, you know, how they pay that account or how you do, it goes on both of your credit reports. And then if all of a sudden you still want to keep the account, but you want that other person off because you closed the business or you're getting divorced, it's a joint account and you might not be able to, you might have to close the account. So I always say it's really important to have your own credit. And even if you do have a business partnership, you can do, both of you can have business account credit cards, and you can always be put on as an authorized user. And so another person can be using it, but at the same time, then it's easier when it's time to end that business or relationship. It's easy if you're in charge of the account, you're primary, and someone's just authorized, you just take the person's name off. So you really have to be careful about the joint. And another thing, people think, oh, is all of our information going to be merged when we get joint accounts or things like that? And no, you know, just that account would be on both of your credit reports. All of your information is not merged when, you know, all of a sudden you get married or something like that. But if one person does have bad credit and you're going for that home loan, they do have to look at both of your credit scores, and it could be based on the lower, you know, the lower of the two, unfortunately.
No doubt. In fact, that's one topic that we're going to touch on in future episodes. A couple of my friends here in the Chicago area have asked me to have a guest on to talk about the best way to merge finances when couples are getting married. And, you know, now people seem to be waiting longer and longer to get married, and they have built up their own assets, and how the best way to merge those assets where everyone's happy. We'll talk about that in future episodes, but certainly credit, when one person is stronger than the other, there may need to be some hesitation before considering merging too much. When that's the case, they may need to get their credit in shape with Gene Kelly before they decide to merge their assets. Gene, let's discuss the importance of credit for a home purchase. How far in advance of a home purchase or refi should a consumer review their credit?
At least 3 months, but if they have more time, that's better, because, you know, it does take time to update information. And I always say people take a lot of time, you know, researching a school district, a neighborhood, location, 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 and then they forget about how they need that financing for that home. So with credit is a huge part of it. And if you could even do it beyond the 3 months, if you could, you know, lay it out 6 months, that's just better for you. It can give you more time to fix something that's wrong on your credit report. It can also give you more time to look at your credit card balances and put yourself on a budget before purchasing that home and get that score up. So definitely, you know, it at least 3 months, but the more time, the better.
Now, when there's multiple inquiries from lenders, like a lot of course, most of us want to get the best deal for a major purchase like that. So we want to get options from multiple sources. Do these multiple lenders looking at our application affect our credit score?
When you go for a mortgage or auto loan, it's considered rate shopping. So you can go within a 30-day window and you can go to several different mortgage offices, banks, as long as they put it in for the mortgage purpose, and it will count as only one inquiry. So you may have your credit pulled by five different offices or five different car dealerships, but it will count as one inquiry. And it's called rate shopping, because you should be able to, this is a major purchase, and so you should be able to get the best deal and feel comfortable. So that's why that exists. And again, you can, the score would be the same from the first place and the fifth place, as long as it's in the 30-day window.
Very good. Okay, so that 30-day window is key. Yeah. One area that we're seeing a great deal of attention spent lately with hacking going on everywhere is the threat of identification theft on one's credit report. And really, what steps do you suggest that consumers should take to protect against ID theft?
It is a huge topic and something I'm passionate about. And it's because it is becoming more and more, you can hear about it every single day. I feel like I'm hearing about it. Of course, I'm a credit expert, but protection. A lot of times people don't realize it's protection is key. And I love a product called ID Shield through Legal Shield. And that's I'm affiliated with that, and I definitely like that product. It alerts you for any kind of issue. And I'm not even just talking your credit, even though that's what did get me involved with the identity protection, but it can also help you with protecting your driver's license, your passport, your email accounts. These are things, your identity should belong to just you. So it's worth the investment. It's about $9.95 a month, totally worth it. And it is on the rise. Identity theft is on the rise. We have data breaches. And I think the worst thing is when you really, if you have great credit, you're a potential good victim for someone. You know, obviously, if you have bad credit, they may not be worried about grabbing your identity. But it's key. The biggest problem is if you don't catch it early, it just makes it harder to deal with it. So if you get an alert, it can help you resolve that quickly, especially if you're going for a business loan, a home loan. You know, you definitely don't want to have anything like that come up during that time.
And what was the name of the product again, Jean?
It's called ID Shield. And not to go on and on about it, but I also want to say, Ralph, we don't have a lot of time. I don't have a lot of extra time in my daily schedule. And even myself, I'm a credit expert. I know exactly how to get my identity back if I am a victim. But I even am a member because I don't have the time if someone does steal my identity to fix it. And with ID Shield, you can call and they will do the work for you and get your identity back to where it should be. So if you do become a victim, and a lot of people who could be listening, if they ever were, they know how many hours it can take to resolve such a thing. And so this product, they don't just alert you, they'll also help you and get it fixed.
And again, you have information on that on your website at jeankelly.net. Yes. That's Jean with two N's, ladies and gentlemen, jeankelly.net. And we'll get information on that Identity Shield ID theft protection. So please turn to that site for any information you'd like to contact Jean about. Jean, what do people typically reach out to you for your assistance with the most?
Most of the time, I have to say it's because they're in need of a home loan and they found something, you know, on their credit report that they didn't even know existed and they don't know what to do about it. So most of the time, those are people who find me. And then, of course, the ones who, you know, went through a divorce and have bad credit from it or lost their job or had to file bankruptcy. And they just want to know how do I rebuild it? How can I, you know, not stay having poor credit? What can I do to get my credit back in shape? So they reach out to me for, you know, anything to do with credit, I'm here to help. And I constantly am building new programs online to help with every credit need possible. And, you know, I truly enjoy seeing people have healthy credit and save money where they can.
You mentioned in an email to me in a study on a particular applicant for a home mortgage that had average credit and then came to you with to ask for your help and entered into one of your programs and saw a significant improvement in their credit score. And boy, that improvement in their credit score, which I think off the top of my head might have been 50 points or so, had a significant difference or made a significant difference in their overall savings, not only on the rate, but that rate on a per monthly basis on a payment times X number of years was over six figures. So I would highly suggest anyone who has some credit challenges to contact Jean. Again, she can be reached at www.jeankelly. That's Jean with a double N, jeankelly.net. And you'll see the different credit programs that Jean has available for consumers. And again, she's been doing this for now over 15 years. She started this when her own mortgage application was declined, and she wanted to dig into this and learn more about her own credit. And really has taken off, and two books later and a huge social following and a lot of press later. Now she's got a lot of people turning to her for her credit expertise and her credit help. So, Jean, many thanks for joining us here today. today. I wish you continued success. We'll definitely have you on possibly, you know, as your schedule allows, every quarter or so to give people the updates on how to improve their credit and take the next step forward.
Thank you so much, Ralph, for having me on your Business Decision. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Have a great day. Again, everyone, you're listening to Your Business Decision with Ralph Russell. Be back with more right after this. Thanks again to our great guest today, Gene Kelly. Gene can be found on Twitter at The Credit Scoop. Gene's address once again on Twitter is The Credit Scoop. And also on her terrific website, GeneKelly.net. Again, her website, GeneKelly.net. And Gene is spelled J-E-A-N-N-E, GeneKelly.net. And I'll, of course, include links to her social media profiles on the show notes section on the website, as well as under iTunes under this particular episode. Now, to summarize just a few of the credit tips she offered during the show, Gene suggests ordering your credit report twice a year to take a look at it, make sure there are no errors on the credit report, and if there are, to follow up immediately. Also, she suggests to print up a copy of your credit report for free once a year at annualcreditreport.com. Again, you can go to annualcreditreport.com and request your free annual credit report, which lists all three reporting bureaus. You'll get them directly from the three reporting bureaus, which is very, very helpful. I've done that over the years myself. Also, she mentions that the things that can really impact your credit score could be accounts that fall under collection, recent late payments, or high balances in relation to your credit limit. As you bring your credit card balances down below your limits, and lower they get, the better. Ideally, you would just use 7% of your credit limit in each card you have and then pay that off monthly. That's what the people with 800 plus credit scores do. She mentioned that. And of course, I'll also include links to many of the topics she discussed in the show notes section, because she really offered some great, great advice. And again, many thanks to Gene for joining us today. I really appreciate you tuning in. As always, I would be really, really grateful if you would subscribe to the podcast. There's a subscribe button underneath the podcast episode here that you're listening to if you're on the website. Or, of course, you can always subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and all the other podcast players that this podcast should be on. And also, feel free, I really would encourage you to leave a rating and review on iTunes. That really does assist the quality of the show as I learn how I can make the podcast better. Also, please let me know what topics and guests you'd like on future episodes, either in the rating review section on iTunes or under the comments section of this podcast. And also, on future episodes coming up, we'll be discussing how to hedge your portfolio against the potential of a significant stock market drop. Really interesting articles I've read this week on how high the stock market is on a valuation basis. And also, as we see short-term treasuries going up in yield and long-term treasuries coming down, that's typically a sign of a potential recession a few months down the road. So that's something to keep your eyes on. We'll also have a guest on to discuss how to refinance your student loan debt, and also a very, very popular topic growing more and more over the last couple of years is investment real estate. And we'll have a guest on to discuss the options you may have for investment real estate, whether it's fix and flip possibilities, also fix, rehab, and rent out, wholesaling, all of those. Very, very popular topic these days, and we'll touch on that. So again, many thanks for tuning in today. Really appreciate you taking some of your time out of your week to do so. If you can, again, feel free to share this podcast with your friends on social media to get the word out. It'd be wonderful to grow the audience and get more and more interesting topics to cover as we move along. So until next week, everybody, all the best.